It's the Guest Booking League payoff from last season. It's finally here.
Yeah, we had to do it because now that the Mavs and Stars are almost done, the Guest Booking League is going
to
start.
It's roughly time to start a new season.
Yeah, we can't start a new season until we pay off the old one. So the losers of the GBL were TC, Jake, and Mino. The penalty was they have to do 5 minutes of stand-up comedy in front of a real comedy crowd. And the Addison Improv, thank you so much. Sean Trainer, a lot of other guys helped out too, but Sean was a guy behind the scenes who made it all happen. And we want to promote the Addison Improv. It was a great time the other night. They got a big weekend coming up with Monique is in town. So check out the Addison Improv, and I think they got a location in Arlington, which is not called the Addison Improv. But they're awesome. They let our guys go up on stage in front of a real crowd that had no idea.
Unannounced.
There were not P1s. In fact, this real crowd was there to see a Hispanic comic, and it was a very, very Hispanic crowd. Keep that in mind.
If you will.
When you're listening to the comedy stylings coming up. So first up was TC. And we're just going to kind of lay back and let you enjoy the Guest Booking League payoff. This was 5 minutes of stand-up comedy the other night at the Addison Improv.
So, without further ado, this next man I'm going to present, he's doing this for the troops. Doing it for the troops. His first comedy. You're still not supposed to come on stage yet. I'm still up here. This is going to be good. This is going to be good. I can feel it. Y'all give it up for the comedy stylings of T.C. Fleming.
It's my first day. Hi, I'm T.C. I came from downtown to entertain you folks. I live at the West End Dart Station, 800 Ross Avenue. It's apartment 1426, if any of you ladies are free afterwards and find this appealing. I don't know why, but don't get anywhere without asking. There's a lot of homeless folks that live at the Dart Station. They don't live there. They don't live anywhere. That's why they're homeless. And I don't know specifically that they are, but at this point, whenever you see someone who hasn't showered in a couple days and their clothes look a little ratty, you assume. And I think that's actually kind of weird because me personally, my budget, the number one expense is the lease to the apartment at the West End Dart Station. If I didn't have to pay that, I'd be f***ing rich. I would go and do all sorts of fancy s***. I'd show up to f***ing brunches in a tuxedo and not even give a f***. Order three mimosas. I don't have to pay rent. I would live a very luxurious lifestyle if I were homeless. I don't get what they're doing wrong. Actually, I do understand it. I get that they have a smaller budget than I do. And even more than that, I can see why that would be. Because they have a terrible value proposition. Their main income stream seems to be just asking me for money. And whenever I go into a convenience store, because I like a delicious Sobe Life Water. Do you guys like Sobe Life Water? The clerk asks for $3. I'm happy to give him $3 because he's going to give me delicious Sobe Life Water. It's a life-giving drink. Now, when a homeless person asks me for $3, I have a sneaking suspicion that they're not going to give me anything for it. And I know that we're all used to that, but if you take a step back and think about it, it's very odd. To put it this way, if you were going to have a homeless person go before the panel of judges on the show Shark Tank and try to pitch them on why this all is a good arrangement, I think it would sound pretty odd. Hey, sharks, why don't you give me money? And in exchange, I'll stop asking you for money, maybe. But the risk is, I might then realize you're the kind of sucker that gives homeless people money and just keep asking. I'll be bugging you for 20 f***ing minutes. So, you know, I know it's a little bit of a risky proposition, but think about it, sharks. I think they're going to say no to that. I'm very surprised that the entire thing exists that way. A number of things I'm surprised by in life. One of them, leaving the homeless thing entirely. Another one is internet porn. You guys ever watch porn on the internet?
Yeah!
I watch a lot of porn on the internet. I don't have women take me up on the earlier proposition very often, so it kind of gets me by. So I understand why people watch, but I don't have a f***ing clue why anyone makes it. I know that they give you money for it, but I would not want to have sex on camera and then put it so that people like my grandmother could see that sort of thing. And I think that's nuts. But it pales in comparison to how nuts it is that these internet porn videos have a comment section below. Who the f*** wants to comment on the porn after they're done? Like, you finish this entire transaction and just have an undying need to say A plus t- I think that's really weird. Now, because I think that's weird, I do tend to spend more than a little bit of time reading these comment sections. I know that's not something everyone does, but because of that, I've got some favorites I'd like to share with you. You might not see them. I think you're going to get the theme of this video from the comment, but back in April 2016, if you must know, the mayor commented, and I don't think he's the real mayor. He commented, "I don't think she's a real cop, though." I watched the video, I can confirm his suspicions, she was not a real cop. On one video where the female was wearing glasses, the commenter named DSK2011 said, in March, "Glasses make women so intellectual and philosophical, ... True enough. So true, in fact, that 6 months later, this exact same commenter came back to the same video and left the comment, "The glasses make her look very intelligent and intellectual. Wow." So he workshopped that one a bit, then decided he would resubmit. He figured he could do better. Odd guy, in my opinion. But the one that takes the cake for me, the exchange that I like the most, is one that starts thusly. Mr. Jimson commented last year, "She's got really great legs." True enough, she did. My Cranilli comments, in the top five, "Wow, this woman is putting in some work." Things are going normal so far as the internet porn comment section go. Then from the top row, Tony1967 jumps in, "I wish there was one girl who blew farts on a regular basis." Whoa, dude, we're not talking about that at all, but he continues. "It's a fetish that hasn't been recognized by anyone, for good reason, possibly. And that's having a girl who blow farts. When I went to strip clubs, I would tell the stripper, 'Blow a fart in my face, and I'll give you extra dollars.' That's real weird shit that people say on the internet, and that's my time. Thank you very much, guys."
There you go. I forgot to say, when he first went up on stage, he hadn't finished his intro, but TC, then he turned, and TC's like right there. Like, he's like, "Dude, you're not supposed to be up here yet."
I'm not sure if I'm burying the lead here, but the points of the routine where there is murmuring and...
like a
there appears to be talking amongst
spicy
themselves.
Wings.
No,
it's before, like, "Why today doesn't suck."
I was out in the crowd before, recording that.
Well, I know, but there are times where he's in sync with his audience and he tells a joke and they laugh. And there's other times where he's telling a joke and there's just talking amongst themselves. And that's the slightly more excruciating part of it, I would imagine, TC, when you're...
Again,
not they don't feel like they're in the palm of your hand quite as much as they were.
Sometimes, too, the audience, your jokes might seem like it's funny. You might be like, "Oh yeah, I drink Sobe Life Water a lot," and maybe your audience doesn't. I don't know.
Hey, I like the use of Sobe.
I thought
Life
it was
water.
Great. I thought you were great.
I have some overall.
I'm just
thoughts.
Sorry it wasn't up to Bob's standards.
Who said that?
Bob.
Not at all. There was a little murmuring.
Right,
I have not reviewed yours, and I will take this little comment, this little snark, under consideration as I rank everyone against themselves.
Okay. The other two guys.
I thought he was very good, but now I'm having some second thoughts.
So far, I hear a comic in a radio station destroying.
Up next, we have others. We have Mino, and we have Jake, and we're on the ticket. All right, so... we're doing the stand-up bit. TC hit leadoff.
Which was ballsy.
Heck of a move. Seemed quite comfortable up there. Didn't freeze up. some natural delivery style, conversational comic, Dan. A little snarky at the end there on his as he's waiting for the judges to rate, but overall, very solid. However, as a dunk contest judge, you don't want to give away 50 on the first contestant until you kind of see what else is out there. And who's next?
Well, to me, they're all winners. I am not grading them. I give them all an A+. They were great. I was there the other night, so I'm recusing myself from grading. Up next is going to be Jake. And you remember TC's intro. Now, when you're off stage, the MC guy is like, hey, give me some intros. Just give me a quickie, quick little one-liner. So, of course, TC said he wanted to do his for the troops. But just so you know, the intros were written by the individual comics. Okay?
All right.
So now, this is back to two nights ago as a guest booking league payoff. TC, Jake, and Mino all did stand-up comedy at the Addison Improv in front of a crowd that was not prepped to receive them. They were actually there to see a Hispanic comic. So it was kind of a Hispanic crowd. But that's the way it was. That's what you had to do for the payoff. So they actually went on stage at the Improv. Up next.
Destroyed it.
We got Jake.
Next guy coming up. He's doing it for the doctors of the troops. Y'all give it up for Jake Kim! Thank you so much. So I was watching television the other day, and it was during the day. It was an afternoon. That's an important part of the story. Because it was one of those, like, there's got to be a better way products. It was for the ShamWow, which is kind of a classic on that front. I don't know if you've ever seen it. But it's basically just like a paper towel on steroids. And there's a guy aggressively selling it to you. And when they get to the end of it, they say, now call this number right now to order 500 ShamWows, whatever. But they always tag it with, the patent is pending. It's a patent-pending product, which my entire life, whenever I would watch these shows, it always bothered me. Like, patent-pending? In what other aspect of life does pending mean go right the f*** ahead? For example, if one of you decides to leave here with someone you met tonight, you just met, you go home, you're about to seal the deal, and she looks at you and says, I hate to ask this, but have you been tested recently? And you say, of course, the results are pending. She shouldn't feel great about that. No one should. I haven't been in a risky situation like that in a minute, though, because I've been married for a few years. And anybody here who's been married for a few years knows, when you're married for a few years, you pretty much just watch TV together. That's your whole life. That's all we do. That's all we do. Constant struggle over what to watch. The problem on that front is, the shit she likes to watch is primarily centered around my two least favorite things in all of life. And I'm primarily talking about shows like The Real Housewives and Fixer Upper. The topics are, again, the two things I try to avoid and hate more than anything in life, listen to drunk women fight, and manual labor. And that's all those shows are about. Just the concept of watching a TV show about someone tearing down cabinets and ripping up floors. The type of work that if you told someone 100 years ago, as they're swinging a hammer for 16 hours a day and their fingers are bleeding and they're got a saw, oh God, I hate my life, this is terrible. And I said, wait, in 100 years, women are going to sit on their ass and eat ice cream and watch people do this on television. Like, that's going to be an entire genre of television. There's no way they would believe that. And the thing with that is that now people's jobs have become like entertainment and hobbies on television. And you can't even just have a hobby anymore. You can't just be into something. It's like your identity. You have to be part of a group. So you can't just be somebody who really likes to exercise. You're a CrossFitter. You can't just be somebody who likes to try new foods. You're a foodie. And I can't just install upward-facing cameras in the toilets in the women's bathroom of my office. I'm a stalker now. I'm a stalker. Now, I would never install upward-facing cameras in a women's restroom because I prefer the downward view. That's one of my things. No, but I am married now, and the best part about being married is that my wife and I don't have kids yet. That's actually the best part. But the best part is that because we don't have kids, we can travel together a little bit. And every single time we travel somewhere,
You know, especially if it's out of the country, it's like, man, doesn't this make you appreciate other countries and other cultures and how they do things a little differently? And I say, well, maybe. That's kind of true. But what really makes me appreciate is our country and our culture. And it's the best. America, right? It's the land of the free, an opportunity. And as long as you work hard, everyone in America has an equal chance to succeed.
Yes.
Unless, of course, you're black, Latino, Muslim, woman, transgender, a homosexual, you've been in an accident, you don't have insurance, you're sick, you didn't get great education when you were growing up, you might live in Mesquite. A lot of can go wrong. But for me, it's awesome. I'm a straight white male. I play in the weakest division in the league. I could go 7-9 and make the playoffs every single season. I'm in the mix every year. A lot of people are really mad right now. Well, just in general really mad, but mad about politics. They're mad at each other about not being mad about the right shit. You're not mad. You're not mad enough about the right thing. And companies kind of have to be careful about this now, because just being associated with the wrong party or politician can be a problem for you. If you remember a couple months ago, Uber was in trouble because, like, the guy in charge of Uber was associating with Trump or whatever. People are like, oh, I'm deleting Uber. And then even a few weeks after that, Mi Casino, a institution like Mi Casino, is getting run out of the paint because, you know, their boss is associated with Trump or whatever. And a buddy of mine who takes this stuff pretty seriously said to me, oh, are you still using Uber and eating at Mi Casino? Still using Uber and eating at Mi Casino. That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard. And he's like, how? How can you sleep? How do you sleep? So it's pretty easy. It's a belly full of fajitas and margaritas in the back of a Chevy Tahoe that I'm not driving home. But it's not hard at all. I call up to our vet and I say, hey, I'm about to vomit all over the back of the Super. Toss me that patent-pending ShamWow. I'm going to have to clean this up. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate you.
Oh, he tied it all in at the end.
Yeah.
That's an old pros trick right there. That is nicely done.
I like that patent-pending payoff, because at first, you know, you want to come out with a good joke. And at first, it just took a little while to get there. It was a 40-second setup or something like that.
Yeah.
And you're wondering how that crowd would react. They loved it.
And did what all the great comics do, worked in the potty cam.
And I don't know if you had any idea about your crowd, but the white man and that killed, dude. You were
that did kill.
The crowd loved that.
The crowd was very, very generous with their laughter when you tied in Mesquite.
Were you pleased?
Aw, skeet, skeet.
Yeah, for sure. Like we were talking about, I just really wanted to not forget where I was, you know?
Yeah.
You didn't have
any notes or like anything up there?
No, you laid down. We have like an index card that had like one or two words of my five little threads.
Like your starter?
But still, I mean, I was 50-50 on whether I would freeze up halfway through and not know what the next thing was. So
yeah.
That was my only thing. It could have been not funny at all, and as long as I didn't totally freeze up, I would have been happy about it.
I like Jake has a story about that he, you know, you have to practice your stand-up set, and he practiced in front of his wife.
Yeah, it didn't go over well. Like, I got like halfway through all of that, and she had not even cracked a smile, and she said, is that the joke?
Like,
put your right hand up when you get to the joke.
She crushed my confidence.
You were the women's team, and you played a men's team to get ready. Like, my gosh, this is the hardest crowd I've ever faced.
Yeah, don't bounce jokes off your wife.
That's, all right, well.
So did either of you guys think 5 minutes was long?
It kind of flew by, right?
I mean, I didn't cut any good jokes. I didn't have many, but I cut jokes to be able to fit to five, and I think I went 5:40 or something like that.
Yeah, you were definitely over five. Beforehand, that the guy who was the MC, when we told him these guys are first time, they've never done this, he's like, oh, yeah, what are they doing? 5 minutes. He's like, whoa, bro.
Yeah, he didn't help either.
It should be like 2.5, maybe 3.
Oh, really?
He's like, you guys are biting off way more. Like, he was not pumping them full of confidence before they went up there. All right, and last up.
I think he was right. I think I had 2.5.
Like, bro, we do 2-hour podcasts.
Two and a half of.
Can't even get through the SeatGeek thing in 5 minutes.
here is up last. in front of the crowd. Now, remember also that the setup jokes that they had to give him when they went up on stage, TC was doing this for the troops. Jake was doing this for the troops. Or, excuse me, the doctors of the troops.
That's right.
All right, so last up, our little buddy behind the board.
One more, man. Y'all give it up for the man that's doing it for the sick kids of the doctors of the troops. Give it up for David Mino!
Thank you. I totally forgot Quincy Carter wore number 17 until I showed up to the show tonight. A little bit about myself. I'm 28 years old. I look a lot younger. I met Jesus tonight. He said I look like a combination of Macaulay Culkin and that joke. See, there's the first laugh I did. There we go. That was all planned. I'm single. Recently single. Just got out of a long relationship with a female, my dad. Not gay. No matter what my dad's always thought. I'm from Denton, Texas. I'm a stand-up comedian from Denton, Texas. I like to moonlight as a board op for a radio station called The Ticket here in Dallas. I'm a stand-up comedian and I work in radio. I make a ton of money. But working in radio, I actually have some other talents that I don't get to do a lot. I actually do a few impressions. Would you guys like to see one?
Yeah.
No. I was a female Baylor student. My one Baylor/rape joke of the night. Let's just cover that joke up. Let's cover all the Baylor stuff up. Cover the Baylor stuff up. Never happened. I'm new to comedy, so you're going to have to bear with me. I still write my jokes down. I know that's against the rules, but I do it anyway. I wrote most of these jokes about 4 months ago, but nothing's too topical, so I think I can still do all these. Let's do this. So we got this election coming up, right? Like, I don't know who the f*** to vote for. This game would suck. Am I right? I am going to run for president, though, in 2024. Like, I'm not really political, but my one platform will be that I will open up Chick-fil-A on Sundays. I'm a white man, and I just got the Hispanic vote. New Year's resolutions, Harambe jokes, those were never funny. Jokes about my girlfriend, I'm still sad and not over that, so I'm not going to do those. Jokes about how the Packers have no chance against the Cowboys, I'm still sad and not over that, so I'm not going to do those. On these cards, by the way, these are just blank. This is a problem. I really don't like prop comedy. I think prop comedy comedians are really cheesy. Here, have some cheese. I'm talking at you. What do you call a virgin that wears a gold ring and works at McDonald's? An Aggie. It's okay, I've got love for all the local schools. What do you call UT's best football player? Undrafted. What do you call the prettiest girl in Oklahoma? A pig. What do you call her buddy? Baker Mayfield. What do you call someone that wears burnt orange to class every day? A UNT student. What has rich parents and sucks at football? A TCU student. What has richer parents and sucks even more at football? An SMU student. Obvious. What has eight and one vagina? A Baylor frat party. See, I told you guys I was gonna do one Baylor joke. I just lied to you. I lied to you like Art Briles. Sometimes I wonder if Ray Charles ever went on blind dates. Some of my favorite quotes of all time are from our former presidents. Some of them we all know very well. I'll start the quote out and you guys can finish it. Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what?
You.
JFK, very smart crowd tonight. The only thing we have to fear is FDR. Grab them by the I'm David Mono, thank you guys very much.
Wow.
Yay.
Wow. That was really something. That was man.
I thought he killed two, the impression of the female Baylor student.
You guys couldn't see the cheese that I threw into the audience,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, he said, I think that prop comedy is cheesy, and he pulled out the string cheese thing was in his pocket.
What did he do in imitating a...
He said, do you guys like to hear any imitations?
Right.
They said yes, and he said
and
no.
He goes, no, that's a female Baylor student.
Not proud of that one. But it had to be done.
Mino.
It was gold.
It really was gold.
And he said that would be his last rape joke of the night.
But he wasn't.
And it wasn't quite.
It wasn't quite.
I had a UTEP joke, but I had to shave my routine down a little bit.
Hey. Well, I would say another bad radio bet has been paid off again.
Any final words from you guys? I thought it was great.
It was.
I'm very glad it's done.
That's well done. You know what? I think you all finished in a three-way tie, but it is our poll question of the day. Who destroyed it best? TC, Jake, or Mino?
That's Sean, on our website.
Or Sean and Grooves.
Or Sean or Grooves.
Or maybe you liked Tom's I Have Diabetes set.
If we look back in the old days, we have done this over a decade ago, or about a decade ago.
How does it compare
Upon
to that?
Upon review, Sean and Tom, they did it on an open mic night. So the audience is expecting you to be terrible. Other terrible comedians are going up there. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a lot easier to go up on an open mic night when you're being billed as beginner. We came here to see beginners.
Yeah.
These guys were all fired up to see a Hispanic comic who they were really into. You know, this guy drew like 200 people to a 7:30 Wednesday show. So he has some drawing power. Yet they ended up having to watch these guys for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes. I don't know, the guy. I just thought it was gutsy. It was a great...
Very fun.
It was good times. Thanks again to the improv.
I think legitimately funny throughout.
Everybody...
Not just friends funny.
Everybody out there that helped us out, and everybody did, but Sean Trainer in particular, Damaris came out there to see the show.
Also a real comic.
Brian Damaris and Soroy came out there as well, a real alcoholic. So we had all bases covered.